Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Doug Loves Movies, episode number 2. I forgot to mention in episode number 1 that theme song was written by Chris Hardwick and Mike Furman, also known as Hard and Firm. Try to check them out in a local comedy club and yell out, request that song while they're trying to do their show. Just yell out, I love movies! I love movies! Yell it out until they play it, which I don't think they can do live. Because there's a lot of stuff happening in the recording studio on that one. Chris has to have his whatever that fucking thing's called with the keyboard and you blow into it. Okay, welcome to the second episode. I want to talk briefly before bringing out my guest about a movie that I didn't entirely love that was out this past summer called Superman Returns. Now, I'm a big pot smoker and I enjoy smoking pot before going to the movies. And the problem with Superman Returns is I couldn't smoke enough pot to get through that lengthy movie and still be having fun by the time it was over. At about the 2-hour mark, I was like, come on, Bryan Singer. You couldn't really finish this up in another 15 minutes? Because I am no longer high. And I'm watching a dude fly around and showing off about it, because I swear to you, spoiler alert, that the last 5 minutes of Superman Returns is just Superman flying around. Like, nothing is happening, he's just showing off. It's like they had a lot of extra flying around footage, and he's doing flips, and he's winking at the camera, and it's really, like, they couldn't run the credits next to that. Why am I still sitting here? Goes on forever. And then the other thing that bothers me about any Superman thing from this point forward, including Superman Returns, is that Superman needs to catch on to the bad guy possibly scoring some kryptonite somewhere. Superman doesn't think he's destroyed at all. He knows that there's still some out there in the world, and Lex Luthor is just the man to get it. And then invite him to meet up somewhere, and then show up with it, and you know, whip it out on him, and then Superman's all, you know, he gets all frail because of the kryptonite, and then I'm sitting in the audience going, fucking Superman, you know, call ahead, dude. You know, like, if I'm going to a party, I'm allergic to cats, so if I'm going to a party, and I know that there might be a cat there, I'll call ahead in advance, say, I'm thinking about coming to your party, do you have a cat? And if they say yes, I say, well, I'm not going to come to your party. Because it will cripple me when you have a cat and I won't be at my full party potential. Unless you're willing to keep it in a lead box while I'm there. My guest today, you may know from his Comedy Central specials, from the movie and TV series Comedians of Comedy, and from his role as Spence on the long-running sitcom King of Queens. Please welcome my friend, the Queen of Kings, Patton Oswalt.
Hey, buddy.
There's a little twist there with the Queen of Kings.
That'll be my spinoff show.
All right, let's save it for the microphone.
Oh, forget Spence and Spensibility. I'm going to pinch Queen of Kings.
Spence and Spensibility, I love it. Have you talked to Emma Thompson about writing the screenplay and winning another Oscar?
You know, I'm not going to give you that scoop. I'm saving it for Carson.
Okay, Scoopy. Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here. I hear you had to pick up your dog at the thing.
I picked up my dog today.
How's he doing?
He was very excited to see us.
No offense to the guest of my first show, Brian Kassane, but your dog is the most adorable dog.
He is ridiculous.
Cute. Yeah.
He is
also ridiculous.
He is very ridiculous.
Not the brightest animal.
No. Oh, my God. He's either like...
Not to cut you off, but this is about movies.
Okay.
So, the first thing I wanted to... I'm just kidding.
No, I don't
like it. But you can get... Pat will just go off about this dog.
His favorite movie is Godfather 3. That's how dumb he is. He's got it back in the movie.
That's great.
The trilogy.
That's great that you mentioned that, because you were in in Blade 3, which is the Godfather 3 of Blade movies.
Yes. Oh, my good Lord in heaven.
I have that one ready to go later in the program, but we got to it right away.
Put it in the breach.
Yeah, I got it. In fact, I should cross it out because I'll probably get to it and say it again.
Yeah, you will say it again.
But seriously, is Wesley Snipes proof that you have to be batshit crazy to play a vampire?
I think you have to go batshit crazy to ruin a franchise that's so bulletproof. It's a kung fu vampire with a sword killing other vampires, and he made it not watchable. That's how batshit crazy he went. And he was apparently batshit crazy from the get-go, from the first one. He was still...
Yeah,
you
I'd say...
Blade, you get all this stuff.
I'd say was. Going back as far as Wang Fu.
Yeah, I think he was batshit.
He's real crazy.
He managed to ruin Wong Fu somehow, which I don't know how he did that.
Who do you got so far? Patrick Swayze and John Leguizamo? I'm in.
Yeah.
That is a horrible
thing
to say.
If you can confirm that Leguizamo has signed, then I'm in. If you can confirm he's in, then I'll... But I won't say yes till he does.
Yeah.
You know they lied to both of them?
What?
Oh, no, we got Wesley in. John, you got to sign. All right, fine. As long as Wesley signs.
He's going to wear the dress. He's going to wear the stockings. He's going to shave.
That was quite a shoot.
But he probably went through the same preparation for both films, for Julie Dumar and for Blade 3.
Which was to sit in his trailer until there was literally pot smoke seeping out of the doors when we would walk by.
He's a pot smoke?
Oh, Lord.
Well, now he's back on my
list. Non-stop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll ever really fight Joe Rogan?
That would be great. I don't know. Aren't they both big pot smokers?
There's rumors about the fact... Yeah, they are. Joe Rogan's
really?
Definitely a pot smoker. And there's rumors that the two of them are going to fight in some sort of cage match or something. For the
oh.
And wouldn't that be the greatest thing that ever happened?
They should dangle a bag of Lebanese blonde hash over a cage, and then whoever is standing gets the bag. They lower the bag to the victor, and then he leaves. That would be the match. That would be so great, wouldn't it?
Or how about a belt made of that?
A belt
so,
made of weed.
So you still win the belt.
Smoke. Exactly.
I love
it. Actually, here's what they do. The guy wins this massive, thick belt made of really good weed. And the other guy has, you know, he can challenge him as soon as he's back and on his feet. The other guy has to smoke as much of the belt as he can before the next challenge. And then, you know, so they just go back and forth and the belt's gone.
I challenge you tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Wheel my bed out there.
That's awesome.
Well done, Patty.
Thank you.
None of this is prepared.
No.
This
is how I'm amazing in pitch meetings. I'll just go. What if Bigfoot was a detective?
Okay, and?
I got pitched a movie where it was, it's Bigfoot and he's in the woods and he meets Elvis and Elvis has been living in the woods. And they want them to be like Elvis is part of like a Men in Black, but for, you know, cryptozoological beings. So they're trying to protect him from. It was such an insane pitch that I just watched the guy in wonder as he said.
And they were they were pitching it to you because they wanted you to play like an Ewok or something.
No, they wanted me to write it. I would have just played the chupacabra. I could put on a crazy Mexican accent and run around. And on the same day, I went in on another movie, and I read for a fucking goblin. I actually read to be a goblin, and it would have been like a golem type
thing. A CG thing?
Suit. Yeah.
They need a new Andy Serkis.
They really do, yeah. That guy's done. He's all drained. That golem took it all out of him.
Well, yeah, King Kong.
It aged him.
He's exhausted. So
yeah, yeah.
By the way, he wants to play real people in real movies. In other words, he's out of work.
You need to update this game because the IMDb is so much crazier than the Leonard Maltin because they have guys that will write in and they'll add, like, people that did ADR work that are now huge stars. Like, you know, they've got the call sheets from, like, the early
70s. Right, they go back
and
piece it together. But also, if you're a member of IMDb, you can just tell them something and then they put it in there. They don't verify it.
Right.
So there's some really odd things in IMDb. In fact, I think I had I had a question. Why does your IMDb say that you're sometimes credited as Shecky Chucklestein?
Oh, because when I did...
That just sounds like something Brian Posehn wrote to them
bought it. Apparently my Wikipedia is a real fun place to go and write weird stuff about me. Because there's all, they add, like, you know, he's a huge fish fan, or he's an avid hang glider, was on there for like a week. But the Shecky Chucklestein's real, it's a real credit because I did a voice on a couple episodes. They brought the character back on Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and at the time I was WGA, and they couldn't use my real name, so I said as a joke over the phone, I said, just call me Shecky Chucklestein, and those guys are... They're stoned to the point where everything is very literal. There's no irony to them anymore.
Right, and they didn't even get it. Even by your standard, you were even saying a name that's not funny to you.
No, exactly.
Like
I just toss it away, and the next thing I know, you know, I thought they would call me later and go, what do you really want to be called? And they said, you like Shecky Chuckles.
Brian has one too, don't you, Brian?
Jason Todd.
They call him Jason Todd, which that sounds like he did porn for a while.
No, that's one of the Robins. That's
the Robin that got killed.
The Robin that got... No, it didn't actually get killed because
he came back
as Hush in the last storyline.
Wow, you guys have spun into a different nerd territory from my own.
I made fun of Brian for being a nerd, and then I overcorrect him like... one of the Robins, the one that died. He did not die. He came...
So last week's guest, Brian Posehn, is still
last
here.
Week's guest, yeah.
First of all, gotta say that. He had such a good time.
Hey, when are you going to have me back?
Yo, he's anxious to come back. If you hang out for another week, Brian, you probably will be on the third show.
Are you guys going to eat that?
It might be. So how many people in the audience would just come every week if it was always Brian and Patton? Some people raise their hands. So polite. So polite on a podcast, the raising of a hand.
Stoned and hungover Ebert and Roper. I like
so that. The other thing, did you know they're having people fill in for Ebert because he had heart surgery, and it's like Fred Willard's going to do it? And it's just like, well, if you're going to do that, like, have us on. We'd be great on that.
Have Dame Edna on there if you're going to have... Not to put down Fred Willard, he's very funny, but, you know, he's just going to say something goofy about everything.
That's right.
He will.
Something that he'll make up on the spot, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Oh, this... Okay, so... But I got to fix something else from earlier. Mm-hmm. Patton brought up the Leonard Maltin game, which, if you listened last week, we played it with Brian Posehn. It's a game the two of us invented. And I know it's hard... It's confusing when you watch Brian do it and then you come right on.
They're
airing a week apart. So
it's new technology. I don't get it.
So those of you who are Patton Oswalt fans that skipped the Brian Posehn podcast because you saw his name on there and you're like, I'm going right to the Patton Oswalt one. I need to explain that Brian and I used to play a game called Leonard Maltin that I'll be playing with Patton at the end of the show. Okay. Now we're back to... Now we cleaned all that up.
Yeah.
Please don't make any more messes, Patton.
Sorry.
All right. What movies did you see over the summer?
Over the summer. You know what? I'm at this point now, and maybe you're getting... No, I don't think you've gotten to this point.
I think I'm past it.
You've kept a sense of joy in your heart. when I first moved to L.A., I saw movies almost every single day.
Yeah, like you saw Patch Adams.
I saw Patch Adams on Christmas Day. It's like, were you there with me?
Mm-hmm.
It's like 50 people.
Great story.
Ridiculous. So, and I think I saw so many movies that now I'm at this point where I can watch a trailer and it takes a lot to get me to go to a movie. Like, now I'll go, if there's, like, when you mentioned Giamatti, I'll go see whatever he's in. Because I know that...
Did you see Lady in the Lake?
Actually, Lady in the Water. I didn't want to correct you last week when you said Lady in the Lake.
Man, you've been harboring that
pretty
for
good.
7 days.
Yeah, 7 days.
Hoping. You brought up Giamatti just so I'd ask
again. I've gotten no work done. I haven't done, you know, it's ridiculous.
Did you see that other movie he was in, Sleeping Beauty Man? Or how about...
Actually, I loved Cinderella Man, and I love the fact that it's a Depression-era movie set in the winter in the Bronx that they release at the height of summer. There was something so ballsy about that. Watch children
ballsy.
Freeze to death, and then hit the pool. Like, it was so... just didn't work on any level.
What about Lengthways? Did you see that?
I love Sideways. That was great.
I did too. I really like that movie.
This summer, I went and saw Superman, which I have to go. I'm still watching it. There's like 8 more endings, apparently. I only saw the 12 endings they had in the actual movie that I saw.
Now that you brought it up, let's talk about a scene that drove me nuts.
All right.
It is crucial to Lex Luthor's plan at one point for Parker Posey's character to drive in a busy metropolitan area with buildings and people and fruit carts and smash through shit for about 20 minutes without ever coming to a stop.
Yeah.
Because she's pretending that her brakes aren't working, but then later finds out that Lex Luthor cut her brakes and gets mad at him for that, which is a whole other subplot that the movie didn't need.
No.
But it's just amazing to me how long she goes on for, and the whole time you're like, is she, you know, as a viewer, you're like, is her car really out of control? Like, I think this is part of the plan, but I'm not sure. And then when you find out that it is part of the plan, you go, how can you plan for that to work? As soon as she hits a side of a building, the car comes to a stop, and the distraction is over.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, that's not the plan of a criminal genius. At least in the 70s movie, they would have Lex doing criminal genius stuff. Like, oh, that's a pretty good idea.
And Gene Hackman is Lex Luthor. The one loophole that he overlooked was Superman flying around so fast he could turn back time.
But
that's honestly one that no supervillain's going to think of.
You
like,
think of that at 3 in the morning and go, oh, now I'm just way too much melatonin. I'm just going to go to sleep. Now I'm just micromanaging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You think to yourself as a supervillain, well, this will be the very last chapter of the saga if he does that, because that's impossible to talk.
Well, I love the fact that the Superman movie, they clearly had watched X-Men and Spider-Man and said, these movies made huge, you know, oil tankers full of money. So what is it about these superheroes? Oh, they're superheroes with problems. You know, Spider-Man has spider powers, but he still has problems.
Yeah,
the X-Men have wonderful powers, they still have problems. But I think that the Superman people thought that what that meant was you have superpowers and you're crushingly depressed about everything in your life while you have them. Because everyone in the movie Superman is under, like, bipolar depression. Not like, oh, there's some trouble in my life. It's like, I can fly around, and I have no love, and I'm completely alone, and there's no point. And then, you know, Lex Luthor is, I broke out of jail, and I'm a billionaire, and I'm angry, and everything means nothing. So the movie would have these little moments of like, hey, he's flying around, and then they would always pull in close in his face as he's flying and he's thinking about how, oh, but my life really sucked. And it ruins. It's like if you're watching Smokey the Bandit, even if that, you know, Eastbound and Down music's playing, but they pull in close on Burt Reynolds, he's like, oh, my dad never said a kind word to me. You'd be like, well, that just ruined. I don't want to watch this. This is horrible. You have to still have
cheer
fun.
Up, Bandit.
Like, yeah, come on, Bandit.
Don't cry, little Bandit.
Don't win that bet.
Keep chewing that gum and jumping that bridge.
You're still Paul Williams the Thinker, too.
Paul Williams, taller than you or shorter?
Oh,
if you had to guess. You've never been next to him?
I almost think shorter.
You
have no neck.
You and Brian Posehn could be the new Paul Williams and Pat McCormick, especially since he just died.
If they redo Smokey and the Bandit,
that'd be perfect. Are you in, Brian? Are you in, Brian?
Yeah,
would you do that?
Yes.
We gotta make a YouTube
Big
film
Enos
and
Loneliness.
Get it out there. Yeah, Big Enos and Loneliness. Oh my God, in a second.
And we'll get Sean William Scott. It'll be perfect. So,
I'm too busy pitching Black
Jaws.
I'm very excited.
Black Jaws?
Yep. The shark is black. You're really good.
And like Tintoria, the tiger shark movie.
Tintoria.
Every time you see him, it's like,
oh,
he's got the Darth Vader
exactly.
breathing. So, I'd say we'd edit that out, but that's not the kind of show we're doing.
No, that was awesome.
And everything's in. So, Superman Returns, I kind of still want to talk about
it.
Yeah, it was a shame.
Yeah, it was a bummer. And now, I don't know if they're going to do a sequel.
Now, I heard because of that plane crash in Kentucky, they're taking out the plane crash scene in the movie. Because it might upset people.
The movie that's no longer in theaters.
Remember the Emmys last week?
Yeah.
How everyone's upset that Conan O'Brien had a plane crash scene? Like, they should have taken that out. They should have taken that out. Well, why? Because anyone who's mourning the death of their friend in the plane crash that happened that day, I would hope to God, is not watching the Emmys.
Yeah. Oh, you know what'll cheer me
and
up?
Then get,
is,
oh,
is
yeah,
the
I
Emmy
watched
Awards.
The Emmys.
Really?
Watching big stars pat themselves on the back when I lost my uncle today is going to make me feel a lot better. Well, they're making fun of plane crashes? How dare they?
Aren't there plane crashes every day? Isn't
pretty much.
Yeah, so
you got to figure.
You...
But when they go down in Kentucky, it's news because
well,
it's
yeah.
surprising it went up at all.
I mean, literally, didn't they go down the wrong runway? What is more Kentuckian than that? Like, I just thought if it was flat and gray, you landed on it. I didn't know there's numbers. What is... I should say that for Larry the Cable Guy to do it. I don't care how dead your uncle is, that's funny.
Speaking of air disasters,
mm-hmm.
and we were,
mm-hmm.
my favorite Patton Oswalt movie role is your portrayal of Delmer Darian in Magnolia. Mostly, I liked it because you end up dead in a tree.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Once again, in the first scene in the movie. It's not a spoiler.
Now, any like... Was that a Patton Oswalt dummy up in the tree, or did you really have to go hang out up in a tree?
Hanging in a friggin' tree. Not only was I hanging in a tree, then they had when they did the close-up of my face, I'm on the top of a ladder, and they had a custom. They cut a wetsuit for you, and they took 58 measurements. They take every single measurement so that it fits you like a snug. You know, it's perfect. And I just remember dangling off of a ladder in the valley in July and sweating so much they're dumping like. You know, Arrowhead waters on me just over and over again to keep me cool. And I only saw, like, my 2 pages of the script. I didn't see the whole script. No one sees their whole script. And I said, why am I... What is happening here? There were no page numbers. And
you just knew you were a blackjack dealer at that
I
point.
I knew
right?
that I was... Yeah, because I'd been to Reno the week before and filmed all my blackjack stuff. And then I just remember looking down at him, and he said, you're the first frog that falls out of the sky. And I said... What? And he goes, you'll see.
I've seen that movie so many times and never thought of it that way.
That's what it is.
I never thought you were frog number one.
Frog number one.
Here's an idea, PT.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't you called frog number one in the credits?
Frog number one.
That
would
have been a nice clue.
That would be cool because they name my character like 3 times. Delmer Darian.
Oh, I know they keep saying it, but they could still in the end titles call you.
That would be pretty cool.
Or as himself.
As himself. I just did a movie
the first
where
frog.
I told them I should have been listed as myself, and I forgot what it was.
I'm guessing, if I had to guess.
What?
No,
I'll tell you what it was.
Can I guess first, though?
Go ahead.
The DJ in Starsky and Hutch?
No.
That would have been good. How about whatever you were in Calendar Girls? And also, did you fuck any of those old broads?
I would have still fucked Helen Mirren. She was hot.
She's such a great actress.
Oh, my God. I told her I was on the roof of the...
I
want
to fuck her abilities.
The Renaissance. You want to, like, titty fuck her talent?
Yeah.
All right.
I totally want to jizz all over her award-winning...
There we go. I want to do a 60 talent with her. That's what I want to do. Do her talent style.
Okay, how about Taxi with Jimmy Fallon?
No.
Okay, you go ahead and name
Failure to Launch.
Oh, you were in Failure to Launch.
Oh, yeah.
Title character?
Not a reason to go see it. It's horrible, but it was... Although someone told me they saw it on a plane. Why would you show a movie called Failure to Launch on a plane? Why would you do that? Like, people said, I saw it in Failure to Launch on a plane.
It's part of the astronaut training program, too, now. They say that here's another way to use that expression.
Sorry, last week's headlines.
That's right. But Failure to Launch. I didn't see that. What'd you do in that?
I'm one of her dates that she's trying to help.
Sarah Jessica Parker?
Sarah Jessica Parker. Mm-hmm. A lovely woman.
Nice woman.
She's very
nice. And beautiful?
She was really sweet, really funny, and like weirdly professional in that... As they were going, like, speed, action, she was, like, on her BlackBerry, and then they would, you know, like, action, boom, and then she would just go right, and it was amazing to watch her almost get caught with her BlackBerry on screen every scene and never did.
See now, if there had been a movie called Failure to Launch, uh-huh, featuring Sarah Jessica Parker as the, yeah, girl putting down her BlackBerry at the top of every scene, I would have saw the shit out of
that.
That
would have been fun. Yeah,
that'd be amazing. Like if there's just one character that's never ready to shoot, but everyone else plays it straight, and she's always. Okay. This date isn't going very well, frog number one.
That's all I got. That's all you see when you do his movies. You see a page. And he also calls you the week before and is like, hey, do you want to be in a, doing a movie? You want to do something? Yeah. Great. And then your agent's going to call you. Like, he's already called, made all the calls, and then he calls you like he just thought to call you.
Yeah. Are you in this new one?
Not yet.
And we got the call yet.
We were talking like last month. He was like, "Hey, what are you doing later in the summer?" I don't know. Just give me a call and I'll do something. Like, okay, great.
I take so much shit for it, but he's easily in my top five filmmakers. I love him.
Oh
man,
I've seen Heart Eight.
Heart Eight is so amazing. I can watch it over and over and over again.
That movie is so perfectly written.
John C.
And
fucking
Reilly. It's going to age. Gwyneth
Paltrow
well.
Can't even ruin it.
Oh, I think she's great in it.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, she's so clearly, like, intimidated by all the people that are around her. She goes, I'm just going to deliver. That's one of those movies really...
This time I'm going to deliver. I phone it in whenever there's a bunch of schmucks like Robert De Niro in the movie. I don't know if she's been in a movie with him, but Dakota Fanning.
Wasn't she in a...
Oh, yeah, he was in that. Oh, I hate it. That Great Expectations movie, there's a lot of things to hate about it, mm-hmm, but my number one thing is it was Ethan Hawke's idea to change his name from Pip to Finn. That drove me nuts for
Pip
some reason.
To Finn.
That like he'd be like, not Pip, call me Finn. And the director's like, yes. And then that guy, Alfonso Cuarón, has made a couple of my favorite movies.
Oh,
E2 Mama and the best Harry Potter.
That's the
Let's Play
the last one. That was really... Wasn't the last one?
No, the last one was the guy that did Four Weddings and a Funeral.
I thought the last one was fantastic.
Yeah, I like the third one the best. And you're wrong.
All right.
So, but that last one was good, too. I just thought that those games that they played went on for too long and didn't have a clear point.
Some of the way they shot, like when they go to that big festival in that weird other dimension and the way the sun is setting through the tents. I've been to so many, like, outdoor music festivals and I know what it feels like when there's, like, way too many people around, and they've just caught that so much of, wow, they're in another dimension right now. This is really well done.
Yeah, that's a good question, though, let me ask a nerd. Mm-hmm. I'm just as nerdy. But in the most recent Harry Potter,
right,
they go to the Quidditch match,
yeah,
and it's in this fucking gigantic stadium that's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's like so huge and so many people, and Harry Potter, of all people, has kind of a shitty seat.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though he's pretty much acknowledged to be the greatest magician up and coming.
Right.
And he's like, go sit in the fucking nosebleed. Mm-hmm. And it's this whole big deal. And then when they do the Triwizard Tournament, it's just out in the countryside with 20 spectators. Like,
well,
why is Quidditch so much bigger? Is it, like, the difference between the World Cup and ladies' basketball here?
I think the Triwizard is something that is really...
It's private?
You really have to get an invite to it.
So at least a scene with scalpers would have been nice.
That would have been good.
Somebody trying to make a little something.
Yo.
Now, do you want to read the names first from Leonard Maltin, or do you want me to go first?
You do.
I'll describe the rules while you look for it.
Okay, all right.
So, for those of you that weren't listening last week, Brian Posehn was on. Fantastic show. Go back and check it out. But Brian and I came up with this game called Leonard Maltin, where we take Leonard Maltin's movie guide, and you pick a movie, you say what year it is that the movie is. It has to be a movie you think the other person has seen or heard of. And then you list from the bottom the cast members' names, and the other person has to try and guess what it is before you get to the real obvious names. Last week, I didn't get Good Burger until Brian said Kenan Thompson. And that was fucking embarrassing.
Boo.
Yeah, so don't do that to me, Patton.
I won't.
No, you can do it. I don't mind being stumped.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not the king of TV.
I want to give you a chance. That's bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Talking to the microphone.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Tree of Wooden Clogs, a Czechoslovakian film, 81.
No, see, you can't start with the title.
I know. But that'd be like the end of it. Like, I'd be going, Vitskak Klunberg.
What?
I would have guessed Tree of the Wooden Clogs.
Oh, you would have? Okay.
As soon as anything sounded it, I would have gone right to that. Or what's that Ingmar Bergman movie?
Oh, you want to hear a great story about this? So reminded me of last week when you and Brian were talking about like the rundown in action movies.
Yeah.
When Ingmar Bergman came to America, he signed with the same agent that had Charles Bronson.
Package deal. I can smell it.
Yeah, exactly. So they said, "Hey, go hang out with Charles, and he'll, you know, teach you, you know, what we do here in America and stuff." He's a really successful filmmaker because he had done like Death Wish and stuff.
Yeah.
So Ingmar Bergman's hanging out, and they're taping squibs to someone's chest. And Ingmar asks Charles, he goes, "No, what is happening right there?" And Charles Bergman goes, "Those are squibs. They show when a guy gets shot. You know, they explode with blood and stuff. Looks like he's getting shot." And Ingmar's like, "I've never seen that before." And then Charles Bronson goes, "Don't you have machine guns in your movies?" And Ingmar's like, "No, I don't." And then Charles Bronson wouldn't talk to him for the rest of the day. He was so disgusted.
There is little to no bloodshed in your average chess match with death.
Okay.
Here we go.
1991.
Leonard Maltin game. 91, got it.
1991. Tom Sizemore.
Ooh. 91 Sizemore. I like it. I like it. Keep going.
Vanessa Williams.
Black lady. Keep going.
Giancarlo Esposito.
You don't even have to look at the book at this point?
I memorized him. Giancarlo Esposito.
Whatever it is, I like it so far. Okay, keep going.
Daniel Baldwin. Some of the movie nerds out there know it.
Yeah. Well, wasn't Giancarlo and Baldwin? No, that was a different Baldwin. Fuck. They were both Unusual Suspects, I think. Daniel Baldwin. That motherfucker. Okay, keep going.
Chelsea Field.
Oh, shit, that's... I think that's the chick from Last Boy Scout, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, keep going.
The next two are going to give it away.
Oh, crap.
I can't.
I'm terrible at a game.
I
helped.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, Chelsea Field, Gene Carlos.
I'll give you a hint. We played this on Brian's back porch when he lived in the old house, and I got it on Tom Sizemore in the year 1991. But only because, I'll give you another hint, I watched it on late night cable like TNT.
Okay, so it's got some action. Give me the other two names. We don't have time for this nonsense.
Don Johnson.
Don Johnson.
The other one won't give it to you.
That one doesn't give it to me?
Oh, do you got it?
No.
Oh.
Don Johnson.
I bet Brian knows.
Is Melanie Griffiths the other name?
Fucking no.
Is it Harley Davidson in the
Marvel? Harley Davidson in the Marvel! Fuck it. The last name is Crazy Face.
Yep.
Yeah. Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
Shit. Nice. See, that's an example of a movie where, like, Tom Sizemore, that's, like, the next most memorable person in that movie. And you listed him so late in the game, I thought, you know.
And he's one of those IMDb guys where you realize, oh, my God, he was in almost everything in the 80s at one point when he was starting out, so...
I've also sort of screwed myself on this game with the excessive pot smoking because it's a lot of, oh, what's his face? And, oh, that movie where that thing happened. Like, I kind of can visualize it, and then I can't get there. Okay, you ready for me to give you one?
Why am I good at it?
I don't want to see where you are in the...
What do you mean, why are you good at it? You got one out of one. Like, well, anyway. You know, we'll keep playing.
All right.
You know how good I used to be at it. Now I'm having an argument with a guest that's not on the show. All right, here we go.
All right.
Scott Capurro.
What a year.
I gave him this one because that's a comic that we...
Yeah.
1993.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Boom! Patton Oswalt, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, this is Doug Benson saying, shut up during the movie or I will murder you.
Another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room